Excellent. On this graduation Sunday, it's a great thing to dream about the great mission that God has placed in our lives, and to dream about the leadership that God has put upon our shoulders and how we might conduct ourselves in the world. And anytime that you're thinking about Christian leadership, it's always going to be a balance between your own personal needs and also the mission that God has placed before you that is so much bigger than all of us. And so think about the mission that you want to see happen in the world that you feel that God is leading you to. For my own personal mission, I think about the things that God has called me out into the world to do. And for my personal needs, I say, Lord, I will go, but please let me at least have a nice, safe place to sleep at night where I can lay my head down and not worry about waking up in the morning. And secondly, a nice hot shower every now and then is good. And so we've got to balance our personal needs with the mission that God has given us. Now, all of us have our own mission. Perhaps your mission is to be the greatest basketball player on the face of the earth. Or perhaps your mission is to run a successful business in the world. And you've got people that are surrounding you in the process that can perhaps help you to get there. The way you look at the people that surround you matters. Will you use the people around you just simply as a tool to step yourself up, to use you to raise yourself up and use them as a resource and not see them as people, just simply as a means to your own ends? Or will you choose to cultivate them, to raise them up and strengthen them, knowing full well that a group of strong people around you who are healthy actually will help you accomplish your own goals as well? Now, all of these things in the passages that we read this week in preparation for the sermon were good lessons for me in what good Christian leadership looks like. And the Apostle Paul helps to present a living example of that. But I think about that, and this should come as a surprise to no one here, that we live on the face of the earth. That being said, we also don't follow, our leadership isn't simply guided by an earthly standard. It's not just simply guided by an earthly standard. Rather than just simply go out and try to get everything for ourselves, we realize that the mission that is placed before us is bigger than this time and place, is bigger than this existence. And for all of you graduates, and frankly for all of us, for every good thing that you ever want to accomplish, I just encourage you, make space within yourself. Set your ego aside for a certain degree and allow Jesus Christ to come and live and walk beside you. Because everything, every good endeavor that you will do, starts with Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And that's what helped Paul survive through the ordeal and the experience that he had. Now, the Apostle Paul was walking through the streets of Philippi with other servants of God, with Silas, and one day he encounters this woman who was a slave. And she was a very particular slave. She was possessed with a spirit that allowed her to tell fortunes. And because her owners realized this about her, they made a whole lot of money off of her. They looked at her suffering. They looked at her brokenness. And they took advantage of that brokenness for their own personal gain. Do you want to be the kind of person that takes advantage of others' brokenness for your own personal gain? You might say immediately, like, well, that sounds horrible. Why would anybody ever do that? But that's kind of how the world functions in the life and the society in which we live. A friend of mine that I used to do martial arts with, we would get on the mats and we would grapple together. And he's a roofer, and he fell off of a roof one day about 20 feet up. He broke all of the ribs on the side of his body. He absolutely shattered his arm, and he almost lost his right arm. To the point where he was really nervous about possibly losing his livelihood. Well, the doctors put him back together. He had several rods inserted into his arm. He had a whole mechanism on the outside of his arms with sorts of external pins and bars to hold his arm together. And eventually that arm healed and it rehabilitated. And we got back on the mat together and we'd wrestle with each other, we would fight with each other, and any time that he started getting the upper hand and he was pounding on me, I knew his weakness. All I had to do was grab a hold of that arm and it was done. I could break that arm in a heartbeat. But think about it. Was taking that simple win, I could have won easily because I knew his weakness, but if I took advantage of his weakness just to get a win, what would that have done to our friendship? So often we've got to keep the bigger picture in mind, and that the short-term wins, and they just aren't worth it. But still, just like those slave owners back in Philippi, they took advantage and they abused that woman who was suffering with the evil spirit for their own short-term gains. They didn't have a bigger picture in mind. I think about the way in which our political system works, and that's frankly how we go about winning elections. We look for the weakness in our opponent on both sides, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or something else. You look for the weakness in your opponent and you destroy that person in the process, in the election process. Perhaps you even destroy that person's family, just so you can win in one particular day on election day. So you may get a short-term win, but at what cost? What's the bigger picture? What's the greater mission? What happens is that we have a nation that's divided and suspicious of one another, and that is not a world that any of us really want to live in. Sadly, it also makes its way into our church, and that was highlighted into the special conference in 2019 in the United Methodist Church over the issue of human sexuality. There are people that I absolutely love on both sides of that issue, good people. But sadly, what they did is they looked for the weakness in others, the weak points in their arguments to attack one another. Now, I may be wrong about this, but I think somehow hurting someone else so I can gain a win just isn't right. And again, I may be wrong about this, but by hurting somebody else so I can gain for myself, somehow it just doesn't sound like Jesus Christ is living inside of me. But we still do it. And as we approach annual conference, we approach annual conference much like we did in that little children's sermon. We've got people who are the eggs, and we've got people who are the flowers, and we don't want to come together. We say, well, the eggs are better, and we know better, and the flower over here says, no, the flower is better, and we know better. And they both want to fight this thing, and they don't want to become that chocolate cake. The flower can say, I know the egg's weakness, their shell is fragile. And the eggs can say, well, man, I know the flower's weakness. All it takes is a little wind, and it'll blow it away and scatter it. And so if we take advantage of the weakness, my gosh, what becomes of the whole in the bigger picture? And the sad thing to me is that good people oftentimes lose sight of the bigger picture just to get the short-term win. But we're called to something bigger. And that's what this entire passage of in the book of Acts is about. Paul was called to something bigger than was just simply there a short-term win in his life. So he and Silas are walking through the streets of Philippi, and this woman, this slave woman who was possessed with this spirit, continued to follow behind him, and they shout out, she continues to shout out, these men are the slave of the Most High God, and they've come to declare your way of salvation. Now imagine if you woke up in the morning and you walked out of your house, and there was that same woman following you everywhere you went all day long, standing there at your office desk and screaming out, this person is a slave of the Most High God, coming to declare your way of salvation. And so this woman for days on end followed Paul and Silas everywhere they went until Paul finally was just absolutely annoyed with the whole thing. I don't know about you, but I've had worse things said about me than saying that I serve God, that I've come to declare your way of salvation. Certainly Paul probably had worse things said about him as well. But he got to the point of being annoyed. Perhaps Paul was annoyed because he didn't want the crazy lady down the street to be his spokesperson. Perhaps Paul was annoyed because he didn't want to be so identified publicly for fear of persecution. But either which way the case was, he turned to the woman, he addressed the spirit, and he spoke directly, said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of this woman and leave her alone. And suddenly the spirit obeyed, and the woman was healed. I can imagine Paul being a little bit amazed at how easy that was. That through faith, this woman was healed. The woman was healed. She had experienced healing. I mean, all the world around was amazed except for her slave owners. Man, they were furious. They didn't want a healed woman. What use did they have of a healed woman? What they wanted was a broken, crazy one. That's how they made money. That's how they got their short-term win. And so they were furious. They were furious in the process. Do you ever find yourself trying to do a good thing and getting in trouble for it? And sometimes, because Paul was carrying Jesus Christ with him, sometimes, even out of our annoyance, Jesus Christ can move through us to bring God's kingdom, the bigger mission, about. And that's exactly what happened with Paul. But he had no idea the mess he had just gotten himself into. He had no idea what was coming. And so sometimes we think we're going in one direction only to find ourselves changing direction. Graduates, if you experience a brick wall in front of you, just realize that's not the end for you. Perhaps it's just time to turn around and God will show you a different way. That's what happened with Paul. His brick wall looked like being hauled in front of the courts, in front of the magistrates, to be put on trial. And there, the trial didn't even take long. The slave owners were able to display their case. The magistrates agreed. They had Paul and Silas hauled out into the city streets, stripped naked, beaten, and shackled hands and foot into a jail cell, all for simply bringing healing to somebody who was broken. In times like that, what would you do? What would your prayer be to God? I think part of all of the brokenness of humanity is that in good days, we tend to think that we tend to attribute that goodness to us. We might say to God, "Look, oh Lord, look at how successful I am. Thank you for making me so awesome." And all the while, we fail to recognize the fact that Jesus Christ is walking right beside us. Now, on the converse side of that, in our bad days, when we find ourselves shackled hand and foot, we also make that same mistake. Perhaps when we look from those bad days, we say, "Lord, why did you let me get into this situation? Why didn't you stop this from happening to me? If I'm serving you, why did you allow this to happen?" And all the while, we fail to realize that Jesus Christ is there right beside us in the jail cell. And so what was Paul's response? His response was to make room even further for Jesus Christ in his life and to invite him in. And there at midnight, in the middle of the darkest part of the night, Paul starts singing hymns of praise and thanksgiving to God. And God heard. And God opened the doors of that jail. An earthquake happened, the foundations of the jail shook, the doors opened wide, and suddenly the shackles, not just from the Paul's and Silas' hands and feet, but off of all of the prisoners, were shook free. In that point in your life, wouldn't you see that as a sign to run for your life? I know I personally would. But I want you to know, the two key points of leadership that are here is, number one, when you see somebody who is broken, as a Christian, you don't exploit that person. That's common sense, but it's unfortunately common sense that we don't pay attention to in this world that we live in. If you see somebody that's broken, you don't exploit them. You bring healing into their life. And number two, you have to always realize the mission that you are on is bigger than just you. And that was evident in the fact that Paul did not run for his life. If self-preservation was simply about Paul's main goal in life, then perhaps when the shackles were free, he would have run. But he sat down and he waited because he realized there was something bigger and more important than just himself going on there in Philippi. His hope was to establish a church in that area. If he would have run from that jail cell in that moment, he simply would have been an escaped fugitive. But he stuck around and he trusted that God was at work in this moment. And by sticking around and refusing to run away to be on his own, he ended up saving someone's life. Now, when the jailer came, his responsibility, his sole responsibility in life was to make sure that nobody ever escaped. And when he came in the middle of the night, he saw that the jail cell was broken open, and his immediate assumption was an earthly assumption, that all of the prisoners had run. But something beyond earth was happening there, and none of the prisoners had escaped. The jailer realized he would have been held accountable for all of the lives who had escaped. And so rather than wait to be put on trial, rather than wait his punishment, he pulls his sword and he begins to take his own life. Until he hears a voice from inside that dark prison that says, "Don't you dare do what you're about to do. Hold on. Come inside and live with us. If your enemy was delivered to your hands..." I mean, this is the guy that was responsible for putting Paul in prison. Perhaps the one responsible for beating him. If your enemy was delivered into your hands, what would you do in that moment? Would you take advantage of their brokenness? Would you have allowed that person to take his own life, or perhaps would you have helped them in the process? Would you simply turn your back and walk away? Friends, just realize, if Jesus Christ is living within you, And Christ is. Christ never came to take anyone's life, but Christ's mission was to come to bring life to all. And Christ never turned his back on any of us. And so Paul held steady, and he showed Christ to this man who had not shown him any mercy. This man comes in, he sees all the prisoners who had not escaped, and he sees this man, Paul, suddenly have compassion upon him. His life was saved. And that man's mission that night changed direction. It went from being a person who slammed doors shut in the face of others, in the face of brokenness, to a person who opened doors and set people free in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, graduates, I simply pray a prayer of blessing over all of the mission that you have in your life. God has amazing things in store for all of you. Go and pursue Christ and the mission that God has given you for all that you are worth, and God will bless what you will do. Just realize there will be annoying days ahead in which you wonder if this is really part of God's plan. And trust me, even in the annoying days, God will still move through you. And remember, God's mission is so much bigger than just us. Set aside your ego to a certain degree and allow Christ to live within you. And in that empty space, others will come along and grow healthy beside you. In the empty space that Paul created, he realized it was the woman who had that spirit within her that was possessed, who became a part of the church and was set free that day because Paul made room for her. In the empty space that Paul made within the prison, he brought in his own persecutor. And even in the name of Jesus Christ, his own persecutor was saved. Friends, the mission we have been given is bigger than just us, bigger than our own personal needs, bigger than our own simple beliefs. It's bigger. The future that God has in store for us is bigger than we would ever imagine. It's a future. The doors are opened, closed doors are broken down, and we can be amazed at the people that we find on the other side, just waiting in the name of Jesus Christ to come inside. Amen.